Acts chapter 24, verse 22, we will start. And Jamie, it is hard, and Dave, it is hard to go from preaching to teaching to teaching to preaching because the Spirit's the same, right? You have to slow down a little bit. And then when I get up here, I speed up too much. I need to slow down. I even have my notes, slow down. Slow down. I need to slow down just a little bit. We pray the Lord has an anointing on the service this morning, which He has already. Please stand. We'll read chapter 24 of Acts, verse 22 through 26. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and let him have a liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, she sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you so much for the Spirit-filled atmosphere, God. We love you this morning. We ask you to be with the ones that's listening by radio and maybe by car, Lord. Give them a blessing as well, Lord. We love you. Anoint my mind, my heart, and my lips. In Christ Jesus' name that I do pray, and amen. You can be seated. I want to focus on verse number 25, the last part of it. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." What if, again, I was talking to Jamie, I didn't read the lesson until this morning. I mean, like Dave, he don't read it, and if he's going to preach, he don't want to get anything off of that. I mean, that's the way I understand it. That's the way I do it. And I read this morning, and all of a sudden, Naaman comes up. He was one of my guys I was going to go to about having excuses. He had an excuse, right? And if he would have said, "Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season," he didn't have a convenient season, Naaman, did he? He was troubled by that. He was upset with that. I didn't know that I was going to do it this way, but let's let the Lord lead then. He was troubled by that. What happens if that time that he left Elisha's place and complained, mumbled all that time, if someone would have happened to come by and killed him? If we talk spiritually about sin being leprosy in our lives, he would have been dead in his sin. Is that a true statement? True statement from the Bible. He needed to do what the Word of God had told him to do from Elisha, the man of God. It wasn't coming from Elijah, it was coming from God. God told him, told Elijah to tell him to go do this. And in Romans 1:20 it says, they are without excuse. There's nobody sitting in this church this morning listening has no excuse to say, "I wait. I wait to a convenient season. I'll send for Dave. I'll send for Jamie. I'll send for anybody. It doesn't matter who you send for. It's not going to be your convenient season. It's going to be when the heart pricks you, the Spirit pricks your heart, and God pulls you up to an old-fashioned altar. That's the way you get saved. It's not your convenient season." And let's give you some background on Felix. Felix was afraid. He trembled. And in James, it talks about the thou believest that thou is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So what part are you? What part are you trembling? So what is, do we tremble at times? If so, why do we tremble? Could it be because we believe in Christ and understand the Bible? I think we understand the Bible a little bit more than we let on. We want to play the ignorant part of it and say, I don't even know a whole lot about that. I don't want to talk about that. Just because you don't want to talk about it doesn't mean it's not real. Amen? And I heard a preacher once say, I quote, we tremble, and it's not because I don't understand the Bible. It's because we tremble what we do understand. We make excuses for. Amen? And in Strong's, I wanted to look up tremble because sometimes it doesn't always mean the English translation is we tremble in our shoes right here. But if we're trembling in our shoes right here, why are we trembling? Why do we believe Felix was believing what Paul was saying to be true? Why? Because, well, at first, his wife would come from the Jewish, she was a Jew. She knew some of this. Because he knew what Paul was talking about and what was convicting him. Although we do not are told why, it could also be with the illegal marriage to Drusilla and her family background, was he fearful of her conversion, knowing this could change their relationship. How many times in life do we do that? I don't know. Should I witness in front of my spouse to somebody else? Because am I going to witness the right way? Or your brother or sister? Am I going to say something wrong? If it's spirit-filled, if we're supposed to go out, as in Matthew 28 says, go out to the world, testify of me, preach of me, bring him in. I remember Tim Bell once said, he said about three pews back, sheep breed sheep. We need to continue to help bring sheep into the fold continuously. We don't have a break from this. We don't retire from this. When we retire from this, we have crossed over. Whoa, that's a praising moment right there. We have crossed over. We have been glorified. But not until then do we stop. We continue on. One thought that I had or a question, do we not come to church or not step up for Christ because it might change our relationship? I have mentioned that. To a co-worker, do we teach or witness? Whatever it might be, don't make excuses. He shed his own blood for us. Did he make an excuse? He did not. Jesus Christ did not make an excuse. Father, I don't want to go. That's as far as I want to go. He didn't say that. He had your mind. He had you on his mind when he died on the cross. Amen. And you could bring up Matthew 22 or Luke 14. And it's been preached many times about the great supper that Christ was talking about when he was at the Pharisees' house eating. He said the king made a feast for his son. I think that was in Matthew. It doesn't say quite like that in Luke 14, but it says, made a great feast. And he sent out and said, tell them to come in. What's the first one say? I can't come. I have to go look at a piece of land that I bought. Make an excuse, wasn't he? We were invited to the King's Supper, the marriage supper lamb. We're here. We need to continue to go forward without excuse. The second one said what? I have oxen I have to go prove. Who don't go look at something before they buy it? So these guys were foolish in that. And the last one said, well, I got married. I'm going to have to go to my wife. He might have had an excuse there, by the way, but it's not an excuse. I'm teasing. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. when the Lord calls you up. There's no excuse. I don't want to wait like Felix said. There's a convenient time. I'll send for you. Not going to happen. Back to Felix. Perhaps when Felix heard Paul speak about the future judgment, he realized his actions would be judged one day, right? Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. We're going to come face to face with him. The songs we were singing today. What are you going to do when you're face to face with Christ? Amen? I mean, right here, right now. If he calls us home right now, you're going to be face to face with the Savior Almighty. God Almighty, Savior, the one that has holes in his hands. He sings a song, scars in heaven, is the only one that's going to be Jesus Christ. Felix was unrighteous. He was self-indulgent and was a tyrant. No doubt Paul focused his message towards this unsaved Roman leader because Drusilla, his wife, was Jewish. She would have been at least familiar with the scriptures Paul used in his witnessing. Felix shut down his sermon until a more convenient time. How many times did someone don't You leave, someone leaves church. Well, anyway, that's a bad idea, by the way. We leave church, or someone leaves church, or you talk to somebody else that come from church, and, well, I don't like what the preacher said, okay? Well, if it comes out of Scripture, it's not what the preacher said. It's what the Word of God says. When we're up here being pitchers, and what God pours in us, that's what's coming out of us. You don't pour tea in a pitcher and all of a sudden get Mountain Dew. You're getting the Word of God that's coming out of us because it's coming out of the Word of God. And if you think you're going to wait, if you think it's going to be a convenient season, maybe he didn't read Proverbs. Chapter 1, everybody understands that. It's been in there in being a Christian for a little while. Let's see what happens to the ones that wait. Let's see what happened to Felix, Proverbs 1, verse 7. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. My son, hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substances we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in thy way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. I'm going to pause just for a minute. We need not to entertain sinful people. Don't laugh at anything they say. Walk away. That's the best thing for me is to walk away because sometimes I'm a little abrasive and I don't mean to be, but I want to stick up for my word. I want to stick up for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if someone was bashing your earthly father, what would you do? Let it go? Laugh at it? No, you wouldn't. You stick up for your earthly father. Let's stick up for our heavenly father. And let's stick up for the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ who shed his only blood for us. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of coordinates, in the opening of the gates, the city, she uttereth her words. How long? Now again, talking to Felix, talking to anyone that's not saved in the congregation or listening by radio, how long, you simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my ways unto you. Right there is a pause right there. He's making it. He's pouring out his spirit saying, come to an old-fashioned altar. Come, let's worship together. Let's get saved. If you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Christ raised from the dead. You shall be saved. You need to come up. You need to openly. Christ healed everybody openly. He died in an openly. Amen. He died openly, spread his arms for each and every one of us and in the whole world. But if you wait, but ye have not set not at all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I tried to reprove you. I tried to rebuke you. I tried to chasten you. None of that held true. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when you fear cometh. When you fear cometh as desolation, and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. I won't answer you. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, it did not choose to fear the Lord. Felix said, I'll wait. When I want you, I'll seek your counsel. It's not going to happen. They would not of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity fool shall destroy them. But whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There's a time. Is it your time? I don't know. Is it your time to step up? We could always be stepping up for the Lord, amen? We could always be that. We could always edify each other. We come here. We don't come here for a social gathering. We come here as a family gathering. Amen? And that's the way we need to look at it. We come here to edify each other, to make us continue to walk, run the good fight of faith, run the race, pick each other up when we fall, and continue to go. And if somebody else wants to come into the race, let's help them. Amen? No, don't say, well, you know, I saw him 5 years ago do this. That's what that Jamie, I thought. It's not nothing to do with what we think. That's one thing that's left out of the Bible, is my opinion. Your opinion is left out of the Bible. That's a true statement. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You leave today. Naaman left, but come back. He had that time. Do we have that time? We're not guaranteed for tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next breath. If the Lord gives it to us, shout his glory. You know, I thought about, and I went down, you know, Naaman was one of the characters that I was going to use. Moses was another one. But they all came to themselves. Why? Because of the word of God. Moses, I don't want to go because I don't talk plainly. I stutter. In school, this was this guy right here. I stuttered. I would take an F before I got up and read a book or even done any kind of report. Moses didn't want to go, but God told him, you're going to be fine because why? I am with you. Amen? Then you could go to Gideon. Gideon didn't want to, but he did. Naaman? Let's look at Jonah, for example. Jonah was a man of God. God wouldn't have sent him, right? He sent him. What'd he do? He backslid the other way and said, I'm running this way. He prayed, in the belly of the fish? and it spewed him out on the bank, something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing that. But what did he do? He turned from his wicked way that he did, and he went and did what God told him to do. And that could be each and every one of us today. We could be, God could be telling us something. He could have already told you something, and you've not done it yet. That's up to you and him. In Hebrews, we've been studying Hebrews some. Harden not your hearts as the day in provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. They hardened their hearts. Aaron was another one I was going to bring up. Moses wanted to know what happened when they built that golden statue, calf. And Aaron said, well, you know, they did this and that. There's no excuse. When you stand before God, there's no excuse. You're not going to say, well, you know, that's not going to be that way. I could be wrong, but every person that saw the angel of the Lord fell down. In Revelation, John fell down. In Daniel, he fell down. We're not going to have any excuses for why we're not doing what we need to do today. Get back to Felix for a minute. I believe Felix was attempted to shake off the conviction of the Lord that he felt. Think about that for a minute. You could put your name in that. I could put my name in that. Just as unrepentant people today will be convicted of sin, yet not return to church until weeks later after the feeling of conviction has been lifted. True statement. It happens every day. It happens every week. I don't like that because I'm convicted of that. You're convicted of it because the Word of God tells you that. It's nothing to do with the picture up here. What's coming out is what the Word of God says. Acts 26, very familiar. At the end of Acts 26, Paul's talking to King Agrippa, right? Festus. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He wasn't mad. For the king knoweth these things. So the king knoweth these things. So he knew these things. Before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things that are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in the corner. Christ didn't die in the... He died openly, amen? The King Agrippa knew what Paul was talking about. And judgment's coming. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We need to preach that because if you're not on the heaven side of it, you're on the hell side of it. It doesn't work either other way. There's no in-between. There's no purgatory. There's none of that stuff. We need to preach the Word of God, write down what it tells us, and don't back up for any reason because it's coming our way. You know, Kaney and I watched a thing yesterday. It was about Israel, and I've never saw Dave Channel, and I happened to be on. I think maybe it just happened to be on this dime. And it was everything that Hamas had done to Israel. It's unfathomable. I mean, it upset us yesterday. I mean, it's just unfathomable. And they're looking to do that. You can't reason with these individuals. You can't reason with the devil. Eve tried to do that, did she not? She tried to do it. That's another one that had an excuse. The man said, oh, the woman told me. Then the woman said, the serpent told me. It doesn't matter. It still had to be bloodshed, right? It don't matter what excuse we come up with, there's going to be bloodshed. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. Only one time was Christ shed his blood. It's over. No more sacrifices for sin other than Jesus Christ. 27 and 28 in Acts 26. King Agrippa, believest thou these prophets? I know thou believest. We could believe, right? Do we take that step? Do we take that step to confess? Or are we still a little pride becomes before a fall? Or we don't want to step up because, like Dave mentioned or Jamie mentioned a couple weeks ago, it doesn't matter if you come up here and pray. We go to revivals, these things are loaded. It doesn't mean that you need saved. It might mean you need to pray for somebody. It doesn't mean anything like that. We're here to help anybody anyway, no matter what it is. If you saw your family member praying and needed help, would you not step? You wouldn't think ill of them. We don't think ill of anybody either. We want to help. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, was the Spirit of the Lord convicting King Agrippa? I don't know. But same thing with Felix. All right? In a convenient time, Paul, I'll send for you. Not going to happen. If the Lord's knocking on your heart, if you need to pray, whatever it might be, these altars are always open. Again, like I've said already mentioned, I have it written down a couple of times. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. John chapter 6, no man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. When Paul was talking to Felix and King Agrippa, they knew the judgment. They knew it was coming. And the ones that study, and again, Revelation some, we seem to be living in the Laodicean era. There are seven churches in the book of Revelation that's been talked about, at least through the chapter 2 and 3. The Laodicean, what did they need? They have need of nothing. Where are we at today in society? We have need of nothing. Amen? We think that we need of nothing. We've got this, this, and this. We're more convenient. But what convenience brings other problems? You know, the phone, the internet, all that stuff has good things on it, but it brings bad things as well. Laodicean, that's the thing that's the church age we live in that says, I'm need of nothing, and I would like to read it. It's chapter 3, verse 15. I know thy works that are neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of cold nor hot. Then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Are you on fire for the Lord? I mean, nobody knows that but you. When we talk about it, we talk about the fruits. You know that by the fruits of their labor, amen? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods. Can you not see that? There's goods everywhere. You can't go, you know, if my grandma would have went into any kind of store today, you know, back in the day you had probably four pieces of gum you could choose from. Now you have at least 25 or 30. Okay? I mean, things like that, things, we don't need anything because we have so-called everything. But we need, if we don't put God first, we have nothing. Again, I'm going to read that one more time. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, I had need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They don't know it. When I was lost, I didn't know it. I thought I was okay. I was a good person. I was going to church, but I wasn't saved. I counsel thee to buy of me gold and tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And again, verse 19. I like quoting this a lot because I've talked about reproof. God's been talking about reproof. As many as I love, everyone, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's calling this church age that we need to repent of our sins if we're lukewarm. We need to continue be Christ-like to help. You can't be Christ-like and try to win souls for Jesus. It's not going to happen. bitter water and sweet water can't come out of the same fountain. You're not going to say, like Felix said, when I have a convenient season, I will call to thee. Is the Lord knocking on your heart this morning? Do you need to come to an old-fashioned altar to pray? Or have you backslidden to a state where you've been haven't heard from the Lord for a while? Have we heard? Have we read? Have we studied? Have we heard from the Lord at all? Whatever it might be, whatever it might be, don't hesitate to come. We're going to have a song and invitation here. She's going to get ready because I got on my notes, Blended, please come. She's not here today. Hope she gets better, Mike. But again, don't hesitate to come up here because we'll pray with you. Because we need to hold each other together to win this thing. We're going to win. The back of the book says we won. We're just in the middle, traveling home. Amen. This is not our home. We'll be sanctified, and someday we'll be glorified. Praise the Lord. As we stand.